I'm Derek Thompson, longtime writer with The Atlantic Magazine on tech, culture, and politics. There is a lot of noise out there, and my goal is to cut through the headlines, loud tweets, and hot takes in my new podcast, Plain English. I'll talk to some of the smartest people I know to give you clear viewpoints and memorable takeaways. Plain English starts November 16th. Listen for free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Ringer NBA show presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a weekend edition of the Ringer NBA show. I'm Big Waz, aka Wozni Lambre. We're doing this new weekend thing for you guys. Gonna be talking to people around the Ringerverse as well as just our favorite people around NBA media. And today, for our very first Sunday edition, we have a very special guest, a former colleague of mine, an actual homie. My man, Kaz Famu Ide of MSG on, Network. I'm chilling, man. MSG Network, you co-host MSGPM, the show. Welcome to the show, man. We got a lot to get into.
We got a lot to get into. You get me on a raw day, too. I'm feeling very raw. We're talking lots of Knicks talk. I'm feeling very raw today.
I didn't catch the game live. I literally watched the Bucks game right before we came on. We can get right into it. The Knicks came into the season with some expectations, right? Last year, everybody would agree that they overachieved. They surprised everybody. And then, you know, they improved the roster, or so it would seem that they did in the offseason, bringing in guys like Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier and, you know, expecting the young guys to sort of make improvements like Quickly and RJ. Right. But so far, they've kind of stumbled out the gate, Kaz. I know, look, you work for the team now. You're one of the biggest Knicks fans that I know.
I appreciate that.
What's your feeling so far this season?
It's rough, man. Like, it really boils down to, like, I can sit here and throw out a million reasons why, like, you know, the Knicks are having issues. I could talk about injuries. I could talk about, you know, schedules. I could talk about rotation and playing whoever's what, or if Obi's should be getting more minutes, all these other, like, a million situations any Knicks fan will give you. But it really only boils down to one thing, right? And Julius Randle isn't having a good a year as he was last year. It's that plain and simple. Last year, Julius Randle, you know, before, you know, that season, was seen as like a good player, but not, you know, one of those, you know, possibly superstar, all-star talents. And then, you know, he has a year like last year, and it completely changes the narrative on him, right? So up until that season, up until the right before the playoffs, he's getting like legitimate MVP buzz, bro. Like, he can't play any better. You know what I'm saying?
We can quibble with the description of legitimate, but carry on.
There was a few weeks where people were making like legitimate arguments that Julius Randle should be getting some talk about being MVP because of what we just talked about. The Knicks expectations last year, surprising people, and being like a top four in the East, right? So I say all that to say he ain't doing that this year, plain and simple. Like, we have already seen how good this team could be this year when Julius Randle has a game like he would last year, right? Like, I was calling him Cornrow Larry Bird last year. Like, he was looking like all world, bro. Like, and there are certain nights this season where he looks like that. And when he looks like that, the Knicks could beat anybody. They'll go head up with the Brooklyn Nets. They'll go head up with, you know, the Heat or any team in the NBA they can beat when Julius Randle is playing to his best. The plain simple fact is he hasn't been playing to his best. and it's resulted in so many things. It's resulted in, like, you know, lineup changes with, like, you know, the Kemba Walker situation and being more of a playmaker and kind of getting the ball back in his hands like last year. It's a lot. But that's the long and short of it on the season right now. Obviously, there's things you could be excited about with the young players, like Obi Toppin looking crazy and, like, you know, Manuel quickly showing some potential. Even today with Quentin Grimes just going off and, you know, giving you that shooting guard production that you're hoping from Fournier and RJ Barrett. Those are things to like, but overall it just boils down to the engine. You know what I mean? Like, Julius Randle not playing as good as he was last year.
Yeah. So for me, you know, it's hard, right? Like, 'cause I thought all season that the Knicks last year, that the Knicks were playing over their heads in the playoffs. I actually picked them to lose either a 4 or 5 game to the Hawks before the playoffs even started. That's on record. I just was like,
right. And I thought you was hating when you said that too. Like, I was over there hating.
It's like, guys, they're outmanned in the playoffs. Like, it's going to be about Julius Randle making some really hard shots. And at no point in his career has he been asked to do that or expected to do that. I saw no reason why we thought he should, you know, be some guy that's going to carry teams in the playoffs. Like, that's never been his history. However, you know, whatever, they had that type of season and this year, but last year they won the day on defense. And I looked it up before I got on the call, Kaz. They're the 25th ranked defense in the NBA. That's just,
and
I know
that keeps Tibbs up at night, bro. Like, I know that's the one thing that's really pulling his hair out is that, like, yo, you could lose. But losing the way that they're losing this year, where people just, like, literally a who's who of who he played for with Shaq, right? Like, coming into the Garden and getting their career highs. It don't matter who it is, dude. Like, every single game, there's people getting career highs on the Tom Thibodeau defense. Like, I feel like he could deal with the losing, but I think that's the part that really, you know, rubs him the wrong way, because that's his bread and butter. Like, Tom Thibodeau teams play D, and this one is not.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, they're ranked 17th on offense right now, as far as, this is per NBA.com's measuring of offensive rating, which is kind of what you expect, about league average offense from this group. But, you know, the idea was like, yo, this is a Tibbs group. They should be able to put together a top five defense. They're in the bottom. They're in the bottom five. That's got to somehow change.
I thought by osmosis, like, people that I knew weren't great defenders would somehow become great defenders just because they're playing the Tibbs system, because we saw it happen last year. Like, they signed a bunch of guys that, you know, before that season weren't really ringing no bells, but they were playing above their heads. They were playing sellout defense, and you kind of thought that, you know, okay, this is the Knicks culture now. Like, you're not going to come here and not play defense, you know what I'm saying, and expect to play. And that's kind of what's happened this year. Like, guys that we know can't really, you know, be counted on as being, like, lockdown defenders are kind of showing their ass a little bit.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like fans and even media, we tend to fall into this trap of sort of thinking in linear terms when it comes to these teams, right? Like, the Knicks were the dregs. They bring Tibbs in. They improve the roster. They make a fourth seed out of nowhere. They improve the roster again. we're thinking, all right, at least 4 seed or 5 seed and like this linear thing where now,
right,
you know, the team kind of feels like it's going in reverse when I don't necessarily think that. I don't think you can say. They're not a laughing stock anymore. And this is like a real team. And the idea was that they should be staying the course. They're not going to throw a bunch of future first-round picks for some washed-up veteran like a Westbrook or a John Wall or what the Knicks would do in the past. They're staying the course. What do you get the feeling? Because obviously you're tapped in with Knicks fandom in a way that most people aren't. What do you think the temperature is with the Knicks fans about this course that the management has decided to take?
Well, I would say, obviously, those expectations that people had, those change after you get a 4 seed. Those change after you go on like a 15-game, you know, streak. Or I forgot how many games they went
in a row.
It's
hard to go back to Hamburger Helper after Filet Mignon. Yeah,
exactly. But, you know, most teams that you'd expect to be a 4 seed in the NBA playoffs, you expect them to either be there or, you know, ascend, especially with the splashy, well, I guess splashy for Knicks' sake, moves that were made in the offseason. That being said, I would say like the fan base and how they feel about the trades or being able to make these sort of moves. It's weird. Like you have this one section of the Knicks fan base that's like, yo, we got everything we got everything on the team right now that could fix this. Like just play the kids. Like look at Obi Toppin. That dude's on SportsCenter every night, but not only that, like he plays with energy, like he injects life into this team, right? Like, you know, look at Quickly, like even though he's not perfect, but like what point guard is, you know what I'm saying? Like what he gives you is what wins in a lot of NBA games in you know, 2021. You see a kid like Quentin Grimes today who could show out, and you know, I think there's that section of NBA of Knicks fandom that are like, all right, if we're gonna be losing games, at least let's see the things that we got, the guys that we drafted, or the guys that we believe you believe in, you know, work it out. And in almost every instance that they've done that, they've either shown that they can really play on the NBA level or they've won, you know? And the last time I think they did that was against the Atlanta Hawks, where, you know, that felt like a win that would have like turned most seasons around. But for some reason, you know what I mean? Like those young kids who really got them playing well didn't get that burn again. You know what I'm saying? And again, from the top, Julius Randle not playing as well as he had last year. I mean, he's still effective, but you know, I don't think fans are really ready for them to do the whole, we're going to trade all of our picks for Melo move. We're going to trade all of our picks for like John Wall move or something that long hurting Knicks fans know they can do. Right.
Yeah.
I don't think they're there
people
yet.
People who lived through the Stephon Marbury and Steve Francis backcourt.
Yes. I don't think they're there yet. You know what I mean? Like I think Knicks fans, you got to give Knicks fans this. They're smart enough to know that trade isn't even out there to make. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could just wave a magic wand to be like, oh, let's just package 8 to 10 people and go get Dame Lillard, right? Well, we're watching what Dame Lillard can do right now. That doesn't really make your team much better than they are right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, not that I wouldn't love Dame Lillard, obviously, but I think the fan base is smart enough to know that, like, there's not a trade to even, like, go out there and get that really changes this, make this more different than what you already got. So just stay the course. And if you believe in your front office, you believe in your coach, and you believe in the GM, this new regime that came in and turned things around that quickly, you got to kind of let them ride this out. And I think that's the majority of Knicks fans thinking like at this moment.
This episode is brought to you by Arby's. There are so many excuses not to try Arby's. Things like, who the heck is Arby? I don't feel like a sandwich right now, or how many times do I have to tell you I'm vegan? Well, excuses end with Arby's Free Sandwich Month. Arby's Rewards members get one free sandwich with purchase every week in April, online only. Now trying Arby's doesn't sound so crazy, does it? Join Arby's Rewards and order ahead today.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visible Wireless. Don't miss the premiere of your new wireless savings with Visible. It's time to switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. That's no hidden fees. No, really. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
So many players on the Knicks sort of embody the trials and tribulations of Knick fandom of the past 25 years, right? Like, I think about Kemba, which...
Yes.
Like, for people who don't understand, understand, like, I just want to kind of foreground what Kemba Walker means as a New York City basketball player. Yeah. Like, this guy's from the Bronx, played for Gauchos, which is about as New York City an AAU team as you can get. Played at the Gauchos, played at Rice High School, didn't go to St. John's, but stayed in the Big East, played at UConn, won Big East tournaments in the Garden. Like, like his New York City basketball bona fides are just, like, astronomical. Yeah. And he's, like, the favorite son who comes home, and it's this happy story, and in typical New York Knicks fashion, it's just disastrous. It's just it's a beautiful story that turns disastrous.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of like if you're an old school Knicks fan who, like, knows when bad Knicks seasons could happen, that was kind of like the first omen that I was like, okay, like, we really like, listen, New Yorkers love Kemba, not even just NBA players, right? Like, you know how certain players around the league are just, like, universally get those loving daps at the end of the game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Kemba's one of those guys.
Yep.
And he's a hometown kid on top of that. Yeah. So, like, don't nobody feel worse about it not working out for Kemba than New York Knicks fans, right? Like, we wanted Kemba to be that dude again, especially here. Like, that would have been, you know, and that would have been just something that would be worth this season alone. Like, if this record was, if they maybe won two or more games right now, but Kemba was killing, it would still be a good story, right? But the fact that, like, Kemba, like, they're doing bad and Kemba wasn't, like, doing that great as well, it was like, ah, man, this is, you know, it's going to be a long season.
Well, how you knew it was bad, how you knew it was bad, to go back to something that you said about playing the young kids, like, it literally pains Tibbs to ever not play his vets. Like, he wants to play a veteran point guard who knows what the hell he's doing out there. He don't want to play quickly second year guy. He's like, yo, you better earn it. Become some type of all-star and then you'll get in this lineup. I'd rather play my vets. And for Tibbs to come out and say, we're not playing Kemba anymore, that's just the ultimate death knell. Like, you know it's freaking horrible.
Right. Yeah. I remember the first couple of games too, like, Kemba looked all right. Like, there were certain games, like the first, like, two or three weeks of the season, we're just like, yo, like, Knicks might have low-key got a steal because Kemba's out here making shots. Like, you know, he can still get a bucket. Like, and I think Knicks fans were still so, you know, man, you're talking about veteran point guards that know what they're doing. Like, they're still so scorned from, like, Alfred Payton and his unwillingness to be a scorer, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, what he gives you is what he gives you. I think Knicks fans and New York fans just love the idea of Kemba Walker more than, like, the actual, like, execution of it. You know what I'm saying? So, it sucks.
Yeah, the anguish. I can hear the anguish in your voice.
Yeah, you can feel it, right?
And again, another guy who I think is, again, emblematic of Knicks fandom of the last 25 years is, of course, RJ Barrett, right? I can remember when the when Steph Curry gets drafted one draft pick before the Knicks. The Knicks, Mike D'Antoni was absolutely like, we're getting that kid. He's perfect for what we want to do. And Golden State was smart enough to draft him, obviously changes the fortune of their franchise, which, again, people don't remember this now, but the Warriors were a joke. They were the Knicks of the West. They were incompetent for decades on end. They draft Steph Curry. We've seen the results of that. RJ gets drafted third overall right after Zion Williamson, who, whatever, he hasn't been able to be on the court, but when he's been on the court, he's been pretty fucking dominant. Like, you can't even argue with that. And Ja Morant, who's been an obviously all-star level player this season. And then, of course, there's RJ who comes in right behind that. What's your feeling on RJ's season? Obviously, we know he hasn't reached the Ja level or the Zion level, but what's your feeling about his season so far?
It's I think it's really rough to judge RJ Barrett's season thus far, right? Like, especially, let's preface it with what you just put it out there, right? Like, with Knicks fans and always having that one pick behind you, right? Like, we could talk about the what ifs of having Zion Williamson, but the fact of the matter is, like, he hasn't been available, and the best ability in the NBA is availability, right? So, but, you know, who knows, in a different universe, maybe like that injury doesn't happen and Zion's like that same killer, but for the Knicks, right? Right. That being said, I don't think it's been totally fair to RJ Barrett to compare what he's asked to do and what, you know, the Ja Morants and all these other people are asked to do for their team, because I think RJ Barrett's a very good NBA player. Like, I think when he's struggling, you can see that, you know, the team doesn't do well because of it. But he has had moments where he looks every bit the third overall pick in that draft. He looks every bit like, okay, he's not exactly Ja Morant, and who the hell is, but he was rightly placed in those top three of that whatever draft class, right? So I think right now with RJ, he's starting to find his shot again. And I think that's why the COVID, the COVID protocols kind of hurts him a lot, because I think the last two games he started to find his groove and started to look like the guy from last year. Same thing with Julius. But, you know, I really don't think it's fair to judge RJ's season so far, because it's been up and down. It hasn't necessarily been consistent. And I think that's the story about RJ Barrett. We can't really know what he is until we see the consistency from him, right? Like, if he's just going to be a guy that's going to be a 15-point-per-game guy and that's who he is, then I think you can. I think he has too many moments where he looks like he's below that and looks like, oh, he could be an all-star. You know what I'm saying? So it's weird for him. Like, he's still very young. He just turned 21. Like, and we're seeing now more than ever, like, so many players that really don't even get it until, like, the 25, 26, 27. You know what I'm saying? So I would still hold off on, like, the RJ Barrett slander train for the next couple of years. You know what I'm saying? Because I think he still shows flashes of potential of being a guy that could help any, like, good basketball team.
Yeah, look, it's not like RJ Barrett's going to be better than Jordan Hill, right? As an example, like, Jordan Hill literally was the pick right after Steph Curry. RJ Barrett's going to be better than that. I think he's shown signs. It's just, you know how it goes. The grass is always greener. You see Evan Mobley doing what he's doing on the Cavs, and you're like, really? We got the third pick in the RJ draft and not the Evan Mobley draft? But I like RJ. My thing with him is he shows a determination and effort level on defense, and at his size as a wing defender, that, like, that's going to be super valuable. He's shown flashes as a playmaker. I think he's going to be a good NBA player. He obviously works his ass off on his game. It's just, you know, people thought that it might happen a little bit faster for him, and it just happened. And, you know, in New York, you're going to be under the microscope.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, people forget. He was like the hyped high school dude, you know what I'm saying, before Zion Williamson took over every single...
Bro, he was taking shots away from Zion at Duke.
Exactly. Like, he was the guy, bro. So, I don't know, man. Like, I think I agree with you. I think he's going to be a good NBA player. But, like, I think the trajectory might be a little bit more traditional than, like, the megastars of Zion and Ja Morant. You know what I mean? Like, it might just take a little longer for him to get there.
So, last Knicks question before we wrap up the Knicks portion of our conversation. In your idealized immediate future of the New York Knicks, what do you think happens? And Kaz is like, all right, this is what I would like to see within the next year or a year or two from now, what I would like to have happen to the team.
Oh, man. I mean, I think any rational Knicks fan, and there's not many of us, but I think any rational Knicks fan would just hope for, you know, fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the very least, like, put a team out there that,
that's
like, people could be competitive. You know what I'm saying? And just stay in the playoff hunt. Yeah, I don't think any real Knicks fan or any, like, you know, knowledgeable, illogical person is thinking, like, this is a championship team. You know what I mean? It's definitely not.
Well, before the season, a Knicks fan friend of mine, actually, his name is Kaz, too, White Kaz.
really?
He said, yeah, we're Bradley Beal away from contention.
A Bradley Beal away? I mean, listen.
Oh, Lord have
when
mercy.
You say a Bradley Beal away, like, are you trading people away? Or are you just dropping, like, a lot of teams are a superstar away from being competitive. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of question is that? But, I mean, no. Like, I think most knowledgeable Knicks fans would say, like, okay, this isn't a team that is going to go head up with the Suns or the Warriors or the Bucks, you know, for a championship.
Right.
But, you know, realistically, they should compete. Like, they should, like, play those teams really good, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, I think, or just me speaking, I think this team would be best constructed as, like, the Brooklyn Nets, how they did it, right? Like, you would hope that they would be a good team that stays
competent
in the playoff
enough
hunt.
That important players want to come.
Exactly. Like, you would want it to just be like the ship just steady enough so a superstar player could be like, man, if I could go over there and just pop right in,
yeah,
we got something. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So I still think that's where Knicks fans should temper their expectations. And if they fall anything lower than that, then, you know, heads gotta roll.
For sure. And so, all right, so I want to get into it with you. Cause people who don't know your history, man, you've had so many fucking jobs in this media space, from rap journalist to wrestling prognosticator to working for the WWE at one point to all, like, just a myriad. We once did a job together for Uninterrupted where we co-hosted a show called The Score. And now you land at MSG. And again, for people who aren't from New York, it's one of those MSG Network is one of those New York things where you think every team has their own network. It's like, wait, what?
They don't.
Like, what?
They really,
like,
do not.
Not every team in every city just has their own dedicated channel and station that just runs team propaganda all day.
Yes.
And, like, no, it's crazy. And so, you know, when you grow up in New York, like, MSG is this thing. And now you work over there, man. It's got to be, I know that's like a dream come true for you.
Yeah, it's a staple in New York City, man. Like, I think I tell people every time, like, thank you for taking a picture of me in your bar. Like, that's, like, I love the fact that, like, yo, after every Knicks game, people are super happy or super drunk or super sad,
oh,
whatever, and
God,
they're Knicks fans, they're gonna see my face, right? Like,
right.
So I always thought, like, that's just the coolest part of the gig, and it's almost like a Knicks after party, right? Or like a Knicks, or just an NBA like after party. You know what I mean? Because, like, even if being from New York, bro, like, it's not anything like you ever think like could happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what you think about. Like, I'd never thought that, you know, this opportunity would present itself. And, you know, I'm a lifer, bro. Like, this is something that, you know, as a New Yorker, you just kind of grow up with, and being like, you know, being a part of, you know, MSG Network and being able to, you know, talk and just like the little stuff that, like, people don't even see on TV, like just being able to, like, watch the games with, like, Wally Szczerbiak and Alan Hahn,
right,
and Pito and Monica McNutt, and, like, there's no better way to watch
amazing
a Knicks game than,
right,
you know, with those people, you know what I'm saying? And everybody who works there is just, like, so cool and, like, so, like, hyped to work with you, because, like, they kind of see my enthusiasm for it as well, you know? And it's it doesn't feel like work, man. It's like I get to go and talk with Knicks fans and celebrities and like Monica, who's like a megastar, who's just like, you know, just about like whatever's happening in the world.
So
and it's
I wanna,
like my,
I
and it's my tribe.
You,
it's New Yorkers.
I want to ask you about that because I remember one of my first like, holy shit, I'm actually doing the job of covering the NBA, like being in NBA media or whatever, which obviously is a lifelong dream. I was in Staples in the media room and I looked to my right and Jerry West was getting like frozen yogurt or whatever from the machine. Yeah. And I was just like, that's fucking Jerry West standing 6 inches from me, right? Like that was my, holy shit, I'm really doing this moment. What was your MSG moment where it's like, yo, I'm really fucking working for MSG right now.
Yo, I mean, it happens every day, bro. Like, I think the first time Mike Breen says your name, like, yo, wow. Coming up next, Kaz and Monica for MSG, he's just like, yo.
Yeah.
Put that, you know, there. I mean, there was another moment where, like, the PA announcer, like, said my name and said, 3-point goal, because E-M-U-E-A. And it's like... That's another one. Then like Clyde walks up to you, Clyde, like, you know, Clyde Frazier, like the coolest, like the epitome of just swagged out athlete, like style icon, like knows you and like is talking with you and they're doing interviews for like all of New York to see. And like, it happens every day, bro. Like I enjoy that gig so much. Like even like in the whack times, like when the Knicks aren't doing as well or when they are doing well, like it's still just an awesome place to be. Like it's a place of where the history just kind of hits you as soon as you walk in. Like as soon as I even park my car and I'm just like walking and seeing all those names that go up and down that arena and been on that network, it's like, yo, this is dope. So I can't pick one. That happens literally all the time. Probably the next one's going to happen next week.
I love that, man. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show, our maiden voyage. You're a new dad. You're engaged. You just bossing up, growing up. Family, MSG, you're fucking killing it. I'm proud of you. I'm very happy for you, man. Means a lot that you came on today.
Thank you so much, bro. Waz, you know, we go back so... to the score days and
of
even
course.
Before that, like Palooza days,
of course.
Like, you know, whatever it is, man. Like I love everything you're doing. And anytime you want to come and shoot the breeze about the Knicks, like I'm here, bro.
Hey, I'm in New York for 2 weeks starting on Friday. Y'all gonna get me up on MSG now.
Oh, well, come on through, man. We gonna need some guests. Some guests, man. Pull up.
Let's do it. Kaz just booked me on the Ringer NBA Sunday version, y'all. Y'all heard it here first. Anyway, make sure you guys are subscribed to the Ringer NBA feed wherever you get your pods, man. Of course, group chat with me and Verrier, the mismatch. Of course, you know, Real Ones with Logan and Roger Bell. Obviously, you know what the Ringer NBA feed has to offer you guys. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.